Thanks so much for joining us here on KVNF and Local Motion, our 30-minute weekly news show. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. As we've been covering on the KVNF Regional Newscast, the annual 120-day session of the Colorado Legislature concluded almost 2 weeks ago. Lawmakers had exactly one job during the session, which was to pass a budget. Over the course of the budget debate, two issues stood out as being the main sources of conflict: the hospital provider fee and funding for transportation. Tonight on Local Motion, we'll discuss those issues in depth. We'll be joined by State Senator Carrie Donovan, State Representative Millie Hamner, and Capitol Coverage beat reporter Benta Berkland to talk about how those issues evolved over the session and what the end results were as lawmakers went up to the last seconds of the deadline to get a deal done. First, we'll start here in Delta County. Jason Kleckler, administrator at the Delta County Memorial Hospital, spoke frequently during the opening weeks of the session about funding for rural hospitals and the crisis they faced. At issue was the hospital provider fee. In short, the state collects the fee from every hospital in Colorado and pools it. This year, that number was roughly $260 million. Those funds are then matched by the federal government, creating a total fund of over $520 million for this session. Those monies are then redistributed back to the hospitals to help pay for uninsured visits and for patients who can't pay for their own health care. Kleckler spoke with KVNF News at the Delta County quarterly meeting in Paonia a couple of weeks ago to get his perspective on what rural hospitals were facing during the budget debate. As he says, some rural hospitals were facing closure if the hospital provider fee was cut.
I'm very concerned. Rural hospitals all run on a pretty slim margin. And any funding that we can receive from hospital provider fee, other programs that are out there, really help us to care for a predominantly Medicare, Medicaid clientele that most rural communities serve. So I am very concerned. The probably most pressing thing is the hospital provider fee being moved into an enterprise fund. I hear some encouraging news, and then the next day it seems to be concerning. But I think you're right in your statement. It's pretty concerning right now. I really do hope that we see some progress in the coming days. I know we only have a few days left in session. This is a very serious issue, the hospital provider fee. And it's not just small hospitals. It also affects some of the larger hospitals like Children's Hospital, Denver Health, those kind of things. But I think for us, since we do live on the thin margins, any loss in funding does have a direct effect on our ability to provide care, our ability to expand our programs, to reinvest in new technologies, and really continue to stay state of the art and continue to serve our community.
And we'll stick with that subject a little bit. Senate Bill 267 is still being debated. That would take the hospital provider fee out of Tabor. And kind of talk a little bit more about how important the provider fee is to Delta County Hospital specifically, and how will the hospital survive if Senate Bill 267 doesn't pass?
So the hospital provider fee in the past has brought in a little over $2 million a year in revenue to the hospital. That has been cut. It was cut last year, and it's being proposed to be cut even further this year. If the cuts go through, if 267 does not pass, we're looking at about a $1.3 million cut, and that is very challenging for us. We still will receive some funding from the hospital provider fee, but it'll be very minimal compared to what we've had in the past. Therefore, we have to be very strategic about what services we provide, where we expand. Hopefully, the cuts, if 267 doesn't pass, the cuts will only be temporary for a year, and then we'll start to see some rebounding in the funding. However, if that does not happen, we'll have to make some very serious decisions at Delta Hospital about how we continue to remain financially viable. our board in the past and our current board has been very proactive in setting aside of funds and reserves to help us. However, those reserves can go quite quickly in a world where we're having more investments in technology. And again, going back to my earlier comment about being predominantly a Medicare, Medicaid clientele, the reimbursements on those insurances tend to be less. And so again, we just have to be very proactive. We have to be very strategic about what we do and really limit the potential of, you know, moving down the road of cutting services or layoffs or anything like that.
And you said in the Hotchkiss Town Hall meeting that if the budget passes as it is now, 8 hospitals in Colorado will close next year. I've heard estimates of upwards of 12. Do you still think that's true? And is Delta Hospital on that list?
I do think that's true. I'm not sure the exact number. I've heard both, as you've mentioned, between 8 and 12. Delta Hospital is not on that list. However, if those cuts continue, if we don't eventually take the provider fee out of the Tabor discussions and move it into an enterprise fund, there is the potential that Delta will be there in the coming years. Again, that just speaks to our need to remain very proactive and strategic about our decisions. I do believe that if the provider fee is not protected in this session, you will see several hospitals looking at closure or looking at trying to partner with larger systems to remain viable. That is a serious issue for us.
In budget terms, in the past, the hospital provider fee was included as a source of state income, so it was factored into the cap limits under the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, or TABOR. Restrictions under TABOR handcuffed lawmakers, mostly Democrats, who for years sought to make the hospital provider fee a separate enterprise fund of its own, thereby moving it out from underneath TABOR restrictions. Here's Capital Coverage beat reporter Benta Berkland, who spoke to KVNF News after the session.
The fee was originally created to pay for uncompensated care and poor people who don't have health insurance. And so the hospitals assessed themselves this fee, and then they got 100% federal match. And this happened quite a few years ago under former Democratic Governor Bill Ritter, and it was not enterprise. So that means that income counts as state income. Democrats say it really shouldn't because it goes back to the hospitals and the federal money just passes through our state. We don't, you know, it's part of the hospital provider fee. But in any case, it's about $700 million. It's getting to be it gets to be more money each year, and that counts as state income. And Colorado has a revenue cap under the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, so it can only grow by inflation plus population growth, and any amount over that gets refunded to voters. And because of this hospital fee, we were reaching that TABOR limit. We reached it last year and this year, and they've been cutting money from hospitals from this fee, so we don't reach the limit, but that's less money that goes to these hospitals. And so it's been pretty controversial. Republicans have said, hey, you know, this is going around TABOR. If we're trying to enterprise this fund, that's another several hundred million dollars that the state can spend that we otherwise wouldn't be able to. And we're not following the spirit of TABOR, which is to limit government growth. Democrats say this never should have been in the state budget. It always should have been an enterprise. What changed this year was the drastic cuts hospitals were going to face. When we cut money from hospitals, they also lose that federal match, and it was going to be over $500 million. Some rural hospitals had said, we may not be able to keep our doors open. And urban hospitals and all hospitals across the state said we could significantly cut back services that are pretty crucial. And so that drew the attention of a lot of lawmakers, as you can imagine, and some Democrats who wanted this enterprise in the first place, and some rural Republicans who are in districts that will be hard hit with some of these hospitals, and people would have to go a really long way to get to a hospital, just worrying about the health care people are going to get in certain parts of Colorado. So that brought everyone together that they wanted to find a solution. It took a really long time to get there, but people had the same goal. In the end, they wanted to avoid these cuts.
Democrat Representative Millie Hamner, who represents parts of Delta County along with other Western Slope communities, is term limited, and 2018 will be her final year of public service. Hamner served on the powerful budget committee during this past session, and she will be chair of that committee next year in her final session. She told KVNF News that in the end, lawmakers decided putting the hospital provider fee into its own enterprise fund was the best solution that allowed rural hospitals to keep their doors open.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. You see, the hospital provider fee is revenue that we bring into the state budget, but it goes right out to the hospitals. We use the revenue that we collect from the hospitals to get a federal match, and we send those dollars right back to the hospital. So it isn't used at all in our general fund budgeting, but yet it counts towards the limit for our Tabor cap spending. So I had always thought that when the fund was created, it should have been enterprise from the beginning. With the state's economy rebounding, we hit the cap because of the hospital provider fee revenue. So enterprising, it just takes that revenue, sets it aside, and it doesn't count towards the Tabor cap. And it gives us much more room underneath the cap to address some of the critical priorities that we have in the state. I believe that with this Senate Bill 267 and restoring the hospital funding is everything that everyone had hoped for in terms of funding our hospitals. Now, rural hospitals still face challenges because, you know, there aren't as many people who use the services. So just as it is with K-12 education, when you have fewer students, it's harder to make ends meet. So I think our rural hospitals will still always have that concern and issue, but the fact that we're not reducing their funding and losing that federal match is going to be a huge win for all of our hospitals statewide.
Democrat State Senator Kerry Donovan of Vail, whose district includes parts of Delta County and other communities on the Western Slope, will run for re-election in 2018. Her seat has been targeted, meaning her election race will feature out-of-state money flowing in for both sides. Donovan spoke to KVNF News and said she also supported moving the hospital provider fee into its own enterprise fund.
We certainly needed to get the hospital provider fee fix done, which is what this bill looked at primarily, and then some other things got tagged onto it as it did become this omnibus bill. But that was my primary focus, is making sure that we fix the hospital provider fee, not only because that gets critical dollars to our community hospitals and to our neighborhoods, but it had larger budget implications. So this is a fix that we needed to get to, and it's been, you know, something we worked on last session, had commitment died on partisan lines. So it was nice to see it scrape through this year with Democrat support and a couple of Republicans joining our cause. It will absolutely benefit those hospitals because, right, we had cuts in place and we knew what those cuts were going to look like. Like, those numbers were out there and they were significant. You know, I talked to my community hospitals and none of them saw closure as imminent if these cuts came in, but they certainly would have had to make some decisions that we would have seen, you know, shorter hours, cut back on staff, services changed. So, right, we won't see those now. So it was really important to get this moved into an enterprise fund. And, right, the other part of moving into an enterprise fund is it gave more room in the budget to do other priorities, you know, such as K-12 education and making sure we didn't have to increase the negative factor there. So very important policy to get done that allowed us to improve some areas and maintain the status quo with our hospitals.
That was State Senator Kerry Donovan, and you are listening to Local Motion on KVNF. Tonight we're discussing the past Colorado legislative session with lawmakers, identifying the key issues and talking about the progress that was made. We've heard about the hospital provider fee, and now we'll talk a little bit about transportation. Going into the session, finding funding for repairing Colorado's aging infrastructure was the key goal for members of both parties. Capital Coverage reporter Benta Berkland gives us some perspective on how the issue of transportation evolved over the course of the session. Much debate was made over the initial proposed plan, which was a bill that would send a sales tax increase for transportation to the voters. That bill ultimately failed, although it's still possible that voters will face a tax hike for a transportation initiative brought by other sources. KVNF News asked Berkland why the original bill failed, and is it likely that voters will still get to decide the issue through some sort of ballot initiative?
Well, I'll take the second question first. I think the chances are pretty good that voters will get to decide something. There's several groups out there looking at ballot initiatives. I think it's pretty likely we'll see something on the ballot this fall. That doesn't carry the same weight as something that's referred from the state legislature. And that's why lawmakers really wanted it to come from the state house. They would have more control over what the ballot initiative would look like, and they thought it had better chances. Voters don't typically like to pay for higher taxes and vote in tax increases, so it would be tough to get this through. What made this discussion unique was the top Republican in the state legislature was the main sponsor, along with the Democratic House Speaker, Republican Senate President Kevin Grantham. He believed that voters should get a chance to decide on this. He thinks the state does need more money for roads. It's unusual and it's much harder for Republicans in Colorado to back tax increases. But he did, along with the chair of the Senate Transportation Committee, Randy Baumgartner. He's from Hot Sulphur Springs, another rural area. He also backed it. And so covering it as a reporter, we thought, wow, this may really have legs because we've got Democrats in the House, the Democratic Speaker, Crisanta Duran. She was the sponsor, so it clears the House. It had about a handful of Republicans who did vote for it in the House. It passed its first committee in the Senate, transportation, but then it had to go to two other committees, finance and appropriations. We knew the people on those committees. One of them, Tim Neville, is probably the most conservative or one of the most conservative members in the Senate. He is not going to back sending a tax increase to voters. He firmly believes that the state needs to look at its own budget, find savings, trim money, do a host of other things before we'd ever consider a tax increase. That ended up being the mindset of the other two Republicans on that committee, and they hold the majority on that committee. They hold the majority on the Finance Committee, so it fails. The Republican Senate president could have done some maneuvering to move it to the floor. It, you know, sent it to different committees, but he wasn't going to game the system. He said he wants to follow the rules. If it had gone to the full Senate floor, it would have passed. There were a handful of Senate Republicans who backed it. They just weren't on those committees to send it to the floor. So I think there was a lot of disappointment. They did spend a lot of time negotiating this bill. It didn't get introduced at the beginning of the session. It took a long time for Democrats and the top Republican in the Senate to figure out exactly what it would look like. But I think if we're going to have a tax increase go before voters, we're going to need some high-profile Republicans who would really back it. If it's just coming from Democrats, I think it's going to be a much harder sell.
In the end, Senate Bill 267 will provide upwards of $2 billion for transportation funding. But almost everyone agrees that will not nearly be enough, as the population of the state continues to skyrocket. KVNF News asked Representative Hamner if she would support a ballot initiative to raise taxes for transportation.
You know, that's interesting. I think it depends on what the package looks like. And I am still hopeful that we can go to the voters to ask if they're willing to invest more in roads. I do think that it is going to take a significant investment on the part of the people who live in Colorado to get the work done. The director of CDOT has said numerous times that we're talking about billions of dollars over a long period of years in order to deal with the infrastructure needs.
Senator Donovan said she would be open to considering any options to help fund transportation.
I mean, of course, I'd have to see what that looks like. It's tough to predict if I'd be for a measure that I haven't seen yet. But, I mean, we all know, especially in rural Colorado, we drive these roads. We drive long distances. We know from month to month as their status as they were and how they are, you know. So we see in real time what it means to not have money to do roads. If a tax increase, sales tax or whatever is the pathway forward, and I feel like there's broad support for that, then I'll work towards that. If there's another solution brought forward, be happy to look at that as well.
That was State Senator Carrie Donovan, and you are listening to Local Motion. Tonight, we've reviewed the two biggest issues at the recently concluded legislative session, the hospital provider fee and transportation. Obviously, there were a great many other issues for lawmakers to grapple with at the State House. Over 700 bills got introduced over the 120-day session, while approximately 200 of those actually passed. Governor John Hickenlooper contemplated calling a special session to force lawmakers to reconsider the transportation bill, to take a closer look at funding rural broadband expansion, and also to fund the Colorado State Energy Office, which at this point is non-existent. But in the end, Hickenlooper, who is term limited and has one more legislative session left in his administration, decided to let lawmakers go home for the summer. KVNF News asked Representative Hamner to identify her one biggest success and her one biggest disappointment from this past session.
The biggest success, I think, really is around our state budget, that we were able to reach bipartisan compromise on the budget between the Senate and the House. As you know, the Budget Committee, there are six members, and that is the committee on which I serve. The six members represent equally the Senate and the House, and they also equally represent Democrats and Republicans. And for any measure to pass takes four votes. So this budget is definitely reflects the art of compromise. So I think that was the thing I have been most proud of, how well we've all worked together to, you know, put our partisan politics aside and really focus on real problem solving. That to me has been the most rewarding. I've also carried quite a few bills successfully, as I mentioned, the Delta Montrose Technical College name change and several others. For education, one allows high school students now who graduate with biliteracy skills to get a seal of biliteracy on their transcripts. So I was really proud of that work. You asked also about disappointments. There were plenty of those. many of them consumed in long hours of debate on the floor. And two bills that I carried that would have helped people in my district deal with unaffordable health insurance, both of those failed. And so I was very disappointed about that. And I would probably say my biggest disappointment, I'd worked really hard on an education vision bill that would have brought together people from all over the state to give us ideas and direction of what they value in their public schools and what they'd like to see more of as we head to the future, to make sure that the kindergartners who start school next fall get exactly what they need to be able to graduate with the skills they need to be successful. And there'd been a lot of effort and a lot of bipartisan work on that bill, and it just quietly died in the Senate one morning on a partisan vote. And so I was very disappointed about that. But I haven't given that up, and it's possible that the governor's office is equally disappointed, and there might be some other opportunities for us to pick the pieces back up and move forward yet.
Senator Donovan also identified what she thought were significant victories and setbacks for her at the recently concluded legislative session.
A biggest disappointment was not getting the REACT Act passed. This was my third year trying to get rural economic development in place, and it died on party lines, which was incredibly frustrating. But on the heels of that, after carrying broadband bills that didn't get passed on party lines, I looked at the budget process and was able to get $9.5 million for rural broadband. So, you know, try again. If you can't get a bill passed, you just look for another strategy to help your community. So really pleased with that $9.5 million. It's a start. It's not going to solve our problems, but I believe it shows that Colorado is going to invest in rural Colorado, and I'm glad that I was able to lead that effort.
Omnibus Senate Bill 267, which covered everything from the hospital provider fee, raising marijuana taxes, schools, mortgaging, and then selling state buildings to raise money for transportation, as well as a variety of other expenditure areas, passed literally moments before the session was to close. It was a rare collaborative effort between rural Republicans and urban Democrats that finally pushed the bill through the State House and to the governor's desk for his signature. It represented one of those occasions where getting something done was so much better than the alternative, even if many lawmakers were not ultimately satisfied with the breakdown of how money is going to be spent in the budget next year. Next year, lawmakers at the State House will face the same split for voting purposes, and compromise is again going to be necessary to get anything significant accomplished. In other words, that collaboration between rural Republicans and urban Democrats might well be the decisive factor in moving forward next year. Senate Bill 267 passed behind a kind of a rare collaboration between rural Republicans and urban Democrats. Do you see this dynamic continuing in the next session?
I think it could. I think definitely one of the Republican senators, Don Corum, he is from Montrose and represents a pretty diverse district. It's evenly divided between unaffiliated voters, Republicans, and Democrats. He has a conservative area near Montrose, and then he also represents Telluride and Durango, Cortez. He's one of the more moderate Senate Republicans. He's still pretty conservative, but on a lot of issues, he was a key vote in the Senate and helped push through a lot of things Democrats wanted in the budget. And I think we're going to continue to see that. We have a Republican representative from Grand Junction, Dan Thurlow. He wanted to revisit Tabor and see if we could recalculate that growth limit to get more money for the state. And he's a Republican. A lot of his fellow Republicans didn't like that, but I think a lot of the rural lawmakers are seeing, hey, things are pretty hard hit here. We do need some more help. And they're willing to work with the Democrats. So we've definitely seen that. A couple other moderates, one is from Alamosa. And then you had the lawmaker from Hot Sulphur Springs sponsoring transportation. So you're definitely seeing more rural Republicans working with Democrats compared to the Republicans from the Denver suburbs. I mean, not that they don't. There are plenty of issues where they all work together. But on some of the big things, we've definitely seen that. And going into next session, it's the same split legislature. Republicans only have a one-seat majority in the Senate. So if Democrats can get something to the floor, they don't need many Republican votes to pass something that they're going to be okay with. So there's a lot of room. There's a lot of room for both sides to work together.
And you've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. Tonight we've discussed the two biggest issues from this year's legislative session, the hospital provider fee and transportation. We also talked about some of the other issues facing lawmakers at the State House as they adjourn for the summer. We've heard from Delta County Memorial Hospital Administrator Jason Kleckler, from Capital Coverage beat reporter Benza Berkland, from Democrat State Representative Millie Hamner, and from Democrat State Senator Kerry Donovan. Thanks so much to all of those who participated. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould, and thanks for listening.